While the ladies are finding their way before we pray to their seats, if you would open your study sheet, and on the inside, on the left side, there's four verses in 1 John at the bottom, side by side, and I would like for you to read those verses with me. It's in the inside of your study sheet on the left side. It's 1 John 3:11, 1 John 3:16, 1 John 3:23, and 1 John 2, 4, and 5. Okay, would you read with me? For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning, again, Lord, for your clearly written word. Yes, there are parts that we struggle with understanding, seem so mysterious, but what we need to know, Lord, is just clear, 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 and bold print. And help us to be bowed before you in such a way that your Holy Spirit can show us that. Father, that just chase away all the busyness and all the thoughts that would distract. And there's much of that in this world. There's much pain in this world. But just help us for this time, Lord, as we worship you, that we would allow you to speak to our hearts through this text, through this message that you inspired the Apostle John to write, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The commanded love of God. The commanded love of God. What have we seen this month? God commands us to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and might. He commanded us to love our neighbors. Last week, he commanded us to love our enemies even. Oh, hard to take. This week, via that, the Apostle John, echoing the words of Christ, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. There's no mistaking that, is there? Jesus said it's a commandment, love one another. John writes of this new command, and he said, well, it's kind of new, but it's kind of old. Because when it really gets down to it, he said, we've heard this from the beginning. This isn't something new. But why all the commands? You know, command you to love God, command you to love your neighbor, command you to love your enemies. Commands, commands. Why is God so bossy? I mean, why is God so bossy? Have you ever had someone say, do you know what you need? Yeah, I see a couple smiles there. Maybe as parents, you've done that. Young lady, do you know what you need? Well, you know what? God knows what we need. And you know what else? God knows how to get us there. He commands us. Now, if he has to command us, that means that we're probably not going there on our own, doesn't it? What if I said, Liz and Jeanette, I command you to play the organ and piano this morning. Well, they might think I bumped my head on the way in. It's like, you know, Dave, we play the piano every morning. Or I say, you farmers out there, I command you plant corn and soybeans this spring. Alrighty, we're already doing that. I command, you know what I'm saying? I'll stop there before I get in trouble. God doesn't command us to do things that we're already doing. You see what I mean? The commanded love of God. And it takes us somewhere. It takes us somewhere that we do not choose. Carrie told me not to talk too much about previous churches, so I'm trying to work on that. But I was in a church, and we had on our bulletin even where the love is. Well, more accurately, it would have been where our love is. Because there in that church, we defined what love is, and boy, it just kind of varied quite a bit from what God said. And the way we practiced it, it wasn't the commanded love of God. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John 4, 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Little background, a little biographical information on our human author, the Apostle John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He wrote the book of Revelation. Jesus gave him and his brother James the nickname. You're familiar with this. Sons of Thunder. They were a handful. You know what they did one time? They came up to Jesus and they said, Lord, we'd like for you to do what we ask. Have you ever had anyone come up and say, would you do me a favor? And you're like, oh boy. Well, if I can, I will, is what I try to remember to answer. Because we might get in trouble if we just say, sure, I can do you a favor. And then they tell you the favor and it's like, oh boy, now we're in trouble. Well, they came up to Jesus and they said, Lord, we'd like for you to do what we ask. And he doesn't say, sure, you guys are two of my foremost apostles, disciples, and I know you're intent on serving. Now he said, well, what do you got in mind? Okay, a little bit of a paraphrase there. They said, well, you know, when we all get to heaven, you know, we've got that song. They might have had that song there, when we all get to heaven. They said, well, when we get to heaven and you're on your throne, well, it's just a small thing, but if you could put one of us on your right hand and the other on your left hand, just a small thing. A little bit brash, a little bit self-seeking. Well, the other apostles, they weren't very pleased with them. The sons of thunder, the self-seeking John. But now this guy that writes these words, and the words are agape toi, let us love one another. Do you remember our word in starting out in Ephesians, hagioi, holy ones? Hagioi, holy ones. Well, this is another one of those very powerful descriptive terms of those who have come to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's agape toi. It's our, you know, you recognize it, don't you? Agape, our word agape. It's that variation of it that is speaking of beloved, let us love one another. We need to understand the logical biblical sequence of love. Reading in chapter 4, verse 7 of 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the wrath payment, the propitiation, the wrath taker for our sins. Now see, when we're talking about the love of God, I'm so used to saying Paul, because the Apostle John, he takes us to a very necessary first step. If it's the love of God, because a lot of people, and some of the reaction to calling people to the love of God, some of the reaction is stirred because of this. It's not the love of God. It's our idea of the love of God. It's a love of God that embraces anyone of any faith. Well, that love does embrace them in this way. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God reaches out to anyone of any faith. But this love that we're talking about, of God pouring, of receiving the fullest extent of God's love, it comes through one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. See, this love, and this is John's point here, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's first and necessary step in love was providing a payment for sins. That was the first. So our first step, when we say, well, God knows what we need, he does. He knows what he needs for us to allow him to pour the full extent of his love in our lives. But to do that, the sin problem has to be taken care of. The sin problem has to be taken care of. He wants to more than anything. pour his life into ours. But the sin problem has to be taken care of. We have to take that step of belief and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and receive his gift of eternal life. Here earlier, we can look at ourselves, and love means that we know God. If we're loving, and again, this is as the terms that God has defined, and we looked at just a little bit of that, the verses earlier in 1 John, we can see other places, like in 1 Corinthians 13. But if we love, it shows we know God. If there's no love, then it shows we don't know God. In fact, it shows that because, well, let me just, if you'd like to, where is it? 1 John 2, 7 to 9. 1 John 2, 7 to 9. First John 2:7-9. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. You catch that with those three verses together? The true light's already shining. The darkness is passing away. When we insist on hanging on to our love, remember last week in Matthew 5, and where Jesus said, well, if you love someone who loves you, that's sinners do that. That's sinner love. That's just plain human love. That's love. That's not the commanded love of God. That's not going that step. And God says, here's where you need to be. I know what you need. Well, we believe God that he knows what we need. And he said, if we show where we hate our brother, we hate our sister, he said, that shows that it's not clicking. It's not clicking. It hasn't penetrated. If we're not exhibiting this love, if we're not pouring this love out that God calls us to our brothers and sisters in Christ, then it's not clicking. We're still living according to the old system, the old man system that we looked at in Romans, the old woman system. And you could be a pretty good person in that old system, but you can't be the person that God wants you to be. You can be a really good person in that old system, but you can't be the person God wants you to be. It's the commanded love of God. Secondly, we need to understand the logical biblical sequence of God so loving us and living in us. I know that sounds like I even debated on, but just if that all sounds like blah, 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 we'll just whisk it aside. There's a very wonderful truth that God said he will live in us and we can live in him. And our world will look differently than it does. We will see people differently. We will see someone before who was an antagonist, someone who was an enemy, someone who was a competitor. And our eyes are different, folks. We have eyes now that see, and we have ears that hear. And when we follow through on the commanded love of God, to love him, commanded to love our neighbor, commanded to love our enemy, and commanded to love one another. Now, what does that tell us, commanded to love one another? Okay. Because when there's a command, that means something we're probably not going to do on our own. We reviewed that. If I command the farmers to the spring to plant corn and soybeans, well, could have had a V8, you know. They're going to do that anyway. So, and you're not going to hear me tell anybody how to farm. But if God commands us, Jesus says, a new command I give you, that you love one another, what does that tell us? We need to be steered past our thoughts of what love is. We need to be steered past our thoughts of what God is asking us, of where God is going. We need to understand that we need to be shifted. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because if we were already loving one another like we should be, if that just came naturally, and we are all old enough here to know that that does not, but if it were, the command wouldn't be necessary, would it? That command wouldn't be necessary. So, loving one another, let me just read verses 11 to 15 and get back to my right place here. Verse 11, 1 John 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I just stop there for a second. If God so loved us, isn't it interesting? God so loved the world. If God so loved us. So what excuse do you have? What excuse do I have to not so love you? What did God so love us while we were still dead in our sins? You've got one of your verses on the study sheet in that middle column at the bottom, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And God, through Christ, can forgive every sin imaginable. So what sin won't you forget when someone offends you? So what grounds do I have to not love you as God so loved me? I don't have any, do I? I don't have any, do I? Now, it was interesting in Sunday school this morning. I told Merv, I said, you gave me a perfect lead-in for my message this morning. God takes us to this place. It doesn't always seem like a real pleasant place at the time. And just briefly, Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Genesis, Exodus. Okay, now I'm finding where it is. Verse 1, Exodus 17, 1. All the congregation, Exodus 17, 1, all the congregation, the people of Israel, moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord. According to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses. They didn't like where Moses took them. But just as the text, the Word of God is so beautiful and powerful, and when we just point out these plain descriptive, it was the commandment of God and they were throwing a fit. We don't like this. Well, sometimes in God's process, remember what I said? Young woman, do you know what you need? And well, young man, do you know what you need? And God's telling us, Christian, do you know what you need? He said, let me show you. But stay with it. Stay with it. Brother in Christ, stay with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Dave, stay with it. Sister in the Lord, stay with it. There will be places where we won't like it. God, what have you done? But it was the commandment of the Lord that took him to that place with no water. Another place, and well, I'm not going to turn there, but if you Deuteronomy 8, 4, it says God did things like this to test them and to humble them, to prepare their hearts. See, this place that you've heard me say it before, and I probably will keep saying it, God will take us to places that we would never choose, and we're so thankful that he did. And this is what it's the commanded love of God will take us there. We won't go on our own. You can be the very best version of yourself, the very best good person you can be, the very best loving person you can be, but you can't get here without God. And it's scary, and sometimes it's hurtful. And you will have to join me in adding to your diet humble pie. But I'll tell you what, you start tasting this place, you'll say, taste the Lord. See how good he is. Blessed is the man and woman who takes refuge in him. It's not Dave saying it. I don't have anything to tell you. If I can be an instrument of the voice of God, I've got a lot to say. And I can, it's right here. And we can see that. The commanded love of God. Continuing, verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides. You know what abides? I mean, lives. It lives in him. This is our dwelling place. And where do we live? We live in God, and God lives in us. And where do we live? We live in the commanded love of God. And what happens is we find ourselves we find ourselves in this place. Well, we're going to look at that place in just a little bit. Hang on to your seats. That's the next chapter in the story. Episode 3. Episode 3, the logical biblical sequence of perfect love casting out fear. Verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Now we're getting it. You see, we obey, but that obedience, it becomes a lifestyle. See, we obey, but it can't just be this rote obedience. It can't just be I'm following a rule and a regulation. If we're obeying what God speaks to us, it becomes this lifestyle where we are taking in the abundance of God. And here specifically, it's like, wow, I'm really believing the love of God. So when that guilt comes and the enemy, maybe sometimes ourselves, the enemy wants to throw this sin in our face. He wants to bring something up from my past, and there's plenty to bring up. I'm believing the love of God now. That's not prideful. I've walked this road long enough, and I know what a fool I was. I know what a fool I'd be apart from God. But you know what I'm doing? I'm believing the love of God. So I don't listen to it. Throw guilt at me. Throw this fear. I'm believing the love of, I'm believing that God actually loves me as much as he says. Because I followed the commanded love of God. He said, my idea of love isn't good enough. Won't hold water. Yours isn't either. But God's following that commanded, having the courage to do that and the faith to do that. Wonderful, wonderful place to be. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Do you have confidence for the day of judgment? It tells us here we can. I have confidence for the day of judgment, not because I'm a good person. Whew, some of the things I've done make me shiver. But I have confidence in the day of judgment because of what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. Because what Jesus Christ has paid full and completely on my behalf. And that's the entrance. But that confidence builds and grows. That I start understanding, wow, I'm really believing the love of God when I follow, when I obey the commanded love of God. And I love God with my heart, soul, mind, and might. And I love my neighbor as God directs me to. And yes, that dastardly, dirty enemy, that antagonist, that competitor, that rubbed me the wrong way person, I follow the commanded love of God. God says, let me show, he wants to show himself to us. He wants to reveal himself to us, and that's what he's doing here. And God will give you this testimony. There's going to be a judgment, and for some people it's going to be horrible, awful. But not if you've trusted in Christ. Now, sometimes we've trusted in Christ and we don't have that assurance because, well, we're not listening to God. We're deciding more of our own life than what God's deciding for us. Well, let me continue in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Are there things to be afraid of? Are there horrible things in our world? Oh, yes, there are. Do we have to tremble in our boots like Chicken Little? Oh, no, we are not. We should not. We have a foundation that says that somebody's going to be shaking the foundation, but it's not going to be men. It's not going to be nations. It's not going to be a powerful woman ruler. God's the one that's going to shake heaven and earth. And you know what? When he shakes heaven and earth, as you are his hagioi, as you are his agape toy, do you think you're going to be shaken? No, you are not. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect standing with a holy God who is a consuming fire on the day of judgment because of what Jesus Christ has done. Conclusion. God doesn't want us to be the friendly church by the side of the road. It's not what he wants us to be. See, you can be the friendly church by the side of the road. You can be that nice community church and still just have our love, where our love is. No, God wants us to be so much more. He wants us to be a place where the testimony of the gospel is clear and evident and present. A place where God lives and his presence is strong. A place where the Holy Spirit of God lives, thrives in our lives. A place where our love for one another, and these are all directly from our text today. All of these are directly from our text today if you want to review them this afternoon. A place where our love for one another testifies to the gospel mission of Jesus Christ. A place where our love for one another confesses the deity of Jesus Christ. A place where love pushes fear and guilt far to the side and replaces them with great courage and acceptance. I know you want to be what God wants you to be. I want us to be that place where God is so honored. His presence is here. His message is here. People come in and they say, God is moving in the midst of these people. But folks, we won't get there by just being nice. We won't get there by being just friendly. We won't get there by just being respectful and courteous. We won't get there with our own plans. We will not get there with our own idea of love. We won't get there. God's commanding us to a different place. But look out, Tennessee, Illinois. But look out, this area, surrounding towns and Blandinsville and Augusta and Plymouth and all these farms around here and all these good people around here. Look out for the fellowship that follows the commanded love of God. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and might. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love one another. Amen.